Hey, welcome to Life 2.0 Podcast. I'm John St. Augustine. Glad to have you joining me from anywhere and everywhere around planet Earth. Up the down staircase time, kids, in the outdoor, make sense out of the senseless. And if at all possible, we'll find the obvious buried in the absurd. Let's get to it. Full disclosure, this podcast this morning is probably mostly fueled by Dead River Coffee. I am an endorser, but not a paid endorsee. Let's put it that way. My kid introduced me to Dead River Coffee in the UP of Michigan a few years ago. I don't know where this guy gets his beans, but I'm loving it. That's all I got to say about that. Every morning, fresh ground, Dead River Coffee. Matter of fact, what I should be doing is trying to have them sponsor this show, because most of the time, like this morning, it's just a little bit of extra in the tank that I need to get this thing done. This is another one of those working without a net kind of deals. I maintain that I never want to turn this microphone on just to waste your time and mine. There's enough of that in broadcasting, that's for sure. And before I go any further, let me just make a plug, an unabashed, unshamed plug for a couple shows that we have coming up tomorrow at newworldradio.com. Easy to find on the web, www.newworldradio.com. They're in Washington, D.C. And at 10 o'clock in the morning, Chicago time, I do a program for them called The Tao of Music, where I get to play disc jockey to a greater or lesser degree. For many years on Facebook, I did this thing every Sunday morning called Sacred Sunday Songs for like 10, 12 years and thousands of shows. It's just the broadcaster in me. You know, sometimes I think it's a waste of time, and then somebody says, I really needed to hear that song, and I know that it was worth getting up and drinking more coffee. But so that's on at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. And then at noon, a couple hours later, actually an hour break in between the two shows, the John and Jen show comes on, WCRW 1190 AM in Washington, and online at newworldradio.com. And Jennifer Weigel joins me. She is the Emmy Award-winning broadcaster and journalist and best-selling author and jack of all trades. I should see a Jennifer of all trades, let's put it that way. We've known each other well over 20 years and never really had a chance to work together like this. So basically, it's our off-air conversations for two decades now with a microphone in front of us. So it's pretty interesting stuff. I think tomorrow we're going to be talking about, you know, opening day we just had here in Chicago and in baseball. Talk a little bit about that, as there's snow on the roof today. A typical Chicago opening day. It's snow on the roof. You know, it's a long season. However, we're going to be talking about that. I know we're going to be touching on a few other things of headlines, but also always maintaining, as I do on this show, that the lifelines are important. So, newworldradio.com, there's my plug for tomorrow. The Tao of Music at 10 a.m. and at noon, you can jump right back in here. Jennifer Weigel and I chop things up and slice and dice and get down to what's important. But this morning, this is a fairly brief outing for me. I'm not sure why, I just kind of feel that way. Sometimes, you know, the sweet spot, according to the experts of a podcast, is, depending on your audience, is no longer than about 19 minutes. Over time, our attention span has shrunk as humans, there's no question. For years, I did one-minute radio vignettes, got pretty adept at taking a lot of information and kind of compressing it down into a minute. And I know tomorrow, Jen and I are going to be talking about this climate report that came out by the UN. And I believe I'm going to drop one of the Earth Matters with Bill Curtis programs in that I produced and created. And we ran in syndication for about 3 years. And that's where I took all this information about the environment that most people never hear and condensed it down into 59 seconds and had the greatest voice in radio and television, Bill Curtis, read them. And very effective stuff. So the sweet spot for podcasting, which is different than radio, which took me a little time to adjust to, because I'm an old school radio guy. I've been doing this a long time. Most of the time slots that I inhabited were 3 hours long, if not longer. So when you're doing long form radio, shoving stuff into 19 minutes sometimes can be a little challenging. But here's what I think. The people who have been listening to this podcast going on 4 years now, you know what this is all about. You're going to stick around. You're going to put it on your car. You're going to be listening to it somewhere while you're drinking maybe Dead River Coffee at some point with your computer or whatever it may be. So I just, you know, I'm mindful of the audience and mindful of the fact that, you know, time is precious. And that's kind of the theme of this particular show today. And I don't want to waste it. quite frankly, because there's no time to waste. So what tripped this off was the passing of a gentleman I've never met named Jim Ramsey. Jim did the weather here in Chicago for many, many years, and he passed away at the age of 69, which is young. When you're in your 60s, 69 is young. And watched the outpouring, the predictable outpouring for his talent and his work ethic and the people that got a chance to work with him. And Tom Skilling, who is a friend of mine, is like the major meteorologist in Chicago. He's the kingpin of meteorology. And he was going on talking about how he and Jim worked together. And they would, you know, inevitably start laughing about something and it turned into an all-out knockdown, drag-out, tears-crying belly rolls. And, you know, you like to hear that stuff because we see these people for the most part on television as these lockdown stayed, very professional people. And to greater or lesser degree, they are, but they're also human beings. And I think that gets lost a lot when we start poking fingers at media people, news people in general. So guys like me who have been able to hide behind the radio microphone, meaning there's no visual, I think we have it a little bit easier, but there's still a lot of projection on who these people should be or who they shouldn't be and all that kind of stuff. That's for another show. Gary Meyer, who I worked with at WGN for 3 years, I guess it was, 2.5, 3 years, is an icon, a Hall of Fame broadcaster from here in Chicago. He and Steve Dahl for many years teamed up and did their thing, the Steve and Gary Show, very popular, made a lot of money, made a lot of fans. And when I ran into Gary finally, after listening to him, you know, when I was younger, It was a great honor. And like I said, a lot of times I think he did the 3 to 7 p.m. drive shift. He was very effective in that time slot on WGN, and I would mostly sit in from noon to 3. So we would do the kind of the talk back thing. We'd hand off the shows from one to the other. So when I was getting ready to walk out the door, or the studio, I should say, at 3 o'clock, the G-Man was walking in with his group and all that they were doing. And it was always a good time. There was this crosstalk thing that would happen. He's always bucking on me for something, but that's what he does. He make light of all things. Doing WGN radio for me was such a high honor that I never knew exactly where I wanted to take shows. I did my best to just be myself and throw it out there, but I was also mindful of the fact that WGN is a heritage station and there was some responsibility, in my opinion, that goes with behind the microphone in a place where Wally Phillips broadcasted from and Roy Leonard and Uncle Bobby Collins and all the rest of these great people. So I felt a little bit locked down maybe sometimes. I was not nearly the free spirit that Gary Meyer is. So we've stayed in touch over the years. Gary now does a podcast, and I think he does some radio in Los Angeles. But I'll tell you what, if there's one thing about the radio business, it's constantly changing. So here's a guy who was totally on top for about 25 years. And like a lot of us, he has found himself in the podcasting world. A lot of his fans have gone over and followed him just like they do to satellite radio and things like that. And yesterday he was doing, I don't say it was a tribute show to Jim Ramsey, but he was recalling some moments that he had with him. And then he was going on this little bit of a rant, which I really, really enjoyed, about how short life really is. You know, one of the things I appreciated most about Gary is he never tried to pretend to be someone other than he is. Meaning there was no shtick to it. What you got on the air is basically what you got off the air. And there, I think there's a great power in authenticity. So Gary was talking with Leslie Keiling, who also did news at WGN, and they've teamed up. They work together now on Gary's podcast, and they were going back and forth about how short things are and the amount of BS we put up with. And all of the time, you know, time's evaporating. And, you know, that's a big theme that runs through so much of the work that I've done and the books that I've written and all that stuff. And so I kind of got engrossed. And, you know, I think it's like a lot of professions. I don't listen to the radio much here in Chicago anymore because I'm on so much. It's the last thing I want to do sometimes. I'm certainly not going to sit down or sit in the car, more specifically, and listen to about a half hour of guys on sports talk radio argue about something they've never done. You want to put Tom Waddle on from football and talk about it? I'm all in, you know, and because he played the game. I'm kind of halfway there with him, but I don't spend much time in the radio business because I'm in it. And so I don't listen to a lot of radio, but podcasting has become a thing because you can plug it in your ear, just like this show, and do other things and hear me yak away and whatever. So I did that yesterday. I had Gary in my right ear. Gary and Leslie were going back and forth on this stuff. And Gary made a really great point. He said, you know, there isn't any guarantee that we're going to wake up tomorrow. I'm like, oh, he must have read all my books because I've said that 1,000 times. And that if today was your last day, what are you going to spend it doing? You're going to spend it worrying about things you cannot control. You're going to get all tied up in the headlines. You're going to get your undies in a bundle over stuff that's not your business. The influx of social media has made so much stuff that's not our business, in my opinion. And we're being asked and pulled towards things that we can't do a thing about. And I think there becomes a certain numbness to life then. I hate what's going on in the Ukraine. I effing hate it. I mean, I don't use the word hate very often, but I effing hate it. There are times my daydreams when I'm in between work thinking, how do I get over to, you know, to a different country and take care of a couple people that I'd like to take care of? If I got to go out some way or the other, let me take a few people with me. I still have those thoughts at times. But I also know that if I don't transform that energy of anger and hate, quite frankly, to some degree, into something different, then I become a casualty of all that too. And life is too short because I might not be here tomorrow. I might not be here the end of the day. And so when Gary was talking about that, I started to roll back to what I've been doing this past week, actually the past 3 weeks. And I'm taking my second book, Every Moment Matters, appropriate name for this show, or this theme, I should say. And I've been putting it into audio format. So that entails me reading each chapter, of course, over and over again and getting it sounding right and all the kind of stuff that goes into production. And yesterday, I read a chapter called No More Mr. Bad Guy. And if you've read my books, good, thanks, much appreciated. But if you haven't, your time will come. But the audio part of this has me speaking out loud words that I wrote probably 13, 14 years ago. And it's when I opened the book, I mean, I read off a PDF on my computer, a script. But when I opened the book, the actual physical book, and I look at this, I only remember writing about half these words because time has just evaporated. But going through this again, reading it out loud, it becomes visceral to me. And I caution all the clients that I work with when I produce their audiobooks that this is what happens. When you take your experience and you put it into print, and then you take the print experience and you put it into audio, you verbally bring this back alive again, it can get emotional. And reading this chapter yesterday, No More Mr. Bad Guy, recounted a time in my life, a very long time in my life, where I was not a good guy. Listen, I didn't commit enough mayhem to go to prison or anything, but I just wasn't a good guy. And the reason for that was I was angry, just as I mentioned a little bit ago, about things at a level that I couldn't do anything about. You know, it'd be naive to think that yesterday was always the best day, meaning there's always shit going on in the world, and it's what we see or don't see what determines, I think, to a greater or lesser degree, how we feel about being alive. You know, back in 1969, I use this example all the time, men were going to the moon, the Cubs were in a pennant race, and I thought life was perfect. But we had more casualties in the Vietnam War in 1969 than any other year. I didn't know about that because my focus wasn't there. So it was just as bad then. Can you imagine if we had Twitter and Instagram and Facebook in Vietnam years? I can't even imagine what that would have been like. So really, focus creates perspective. And reading this chapter over again about the times where my anger was so deep at so many different things that I couldn't control, that I would lash out at other people. And football was the perfect outlet to some greater or lesser degree where I could legally hit people, obviously, and not go to jail for it. And it fueled me on so many levels. But the problem is then when football's gone, then what do you do with it? And one of the things that I did was become a bouncer at a bar. And it was right up my alley. I'm here to tell you. I mean, I just, you know, you got a growing chip on your shoulder. You can bench press 400 pounds. It's a good combo to be at the front door and check IDs and throw drunks out. So I did that for about 3 years part-time at night, obviously. And not much going on at the bar during the day. All the fun is at nighttime. And I was remembering these two incidences out of many that really were, I think, tipping points for me to make a change in my life. And the first one was, you know, it was getting towards closing time, and inevitably the liquid courage, of course, had been flowing. Bouncers don't drink, so we're all sober, and drunks are, well, drunk, and there's no match. So I vividly remember this time where, you know, it was last call, and we got to start escorting people out, and this guy comes up to me totally snockered and shit-faced and gooned up, and I'd asked him to leave nicely. He had been kind of bothering one of the girls that were there and asked him to leave, and he made the mistake of touching me. He made the mistake of pushing his finger into my chest. And at the time, you know, I was 225 pounds and, you know, basically indestructible at this point. This guy had to weigh 150 if it was a pound. So I kind of escorted him out front and walked him to his motorcycle, which he shouldn't have been on, but that's not my problem. And just as I moved him towards the motorcycle, he turns around, roundhouse, swings at me and catches me on the side of the head, blindside. Total sucker punch. And I saw stars, even from this little guy, because it caught me off guard. It didn't knock me down, didn't knock me out, but it really startled me. And of course, my instinct was to kill him, basically. I mean, that's just the response. You're picking on the wrong guy. Good for me, bad for you. And I basically roundhoused this guy. It swept his feet out. I grabbed him and I put him over the top of a fire hydrant. There's this big knuckle bolt on the top of a fire hydrant. It was right on his lower back. And I basically just pressed down on him, intent on breaking him in half, basically. And obviously that didn't happen. Cooler heads intervened. The cop showed up. I was told to make myself scarce. But I went home that night with no remorse. The next time it happened was very different. Not a month or two later, another fight breaks out at this bar. It somehow ends up out on the street. Some guy takes a swing at me, which was, the wrong thing to do. When you're drunk, you don't swing at the people who are sober. It's just never a good idea. And I got this guy in what's called like a headlock, a sleeper hold. And I had both of my arms wrapped around his neck bent to the side, cutting off his carotid artery, which renders someone literally unconscious. And again, not a big guy, wrong move, but I was sitting on the hood of a car doing this. And I'd have killed him. My partner at the bar, Big Bubba Hilton, 6'4", 350 pounds, no kidding, you know, came over and tried to pry my arms apart because he could see what was happening. Even though there's a lot of other stuff going on, he could see what was happening. And I just wouldn't give it up. I was so incensed at this guy that I'm going to take him out. And finally, after Bubs was kind of talking in my ear and got my arms to drop, you know, I let go. And that's when I realized I could have killed this guy. And that's when I realized, I think, that I would have been in jail to this day, more than likely, had that gone the course that I wanted it to go. My anger was so deep at this indignation of what these people were doing and how they were acting. And I didn't think it was, of course, I'm at a bar. What do you expect from people, right? But that night when I went home, I thought, this is enough. And not long after that, I decided to attend something called EST, E-S-T, Erhard Seminar Trainings. Werner Erhard was a, back in the 70s and 80s and 90s, was kind of like a self-help guru kind of guy. And I had heard a lot about these trainings and how powerful they were and all that kind of stuff. So I thought, I'm going to give it a try. I showed up there, 250 people in a ballroom in Rosemont, not far from O'Hare Airport. And I had my full armor on, head shaved down. Looked like Goldberg, the wrestler, head shaved down, leather jacket on, all muscled up. Just the baddest dude on the planet at that point, in my opinion. And over the course of two weekends, and I think it was a one weeknight, I watched people do incredible things. Talk about cancer and loss and stand up in front of a room full of strangers. And my armor was beginning to melt. I was trying to figure out a little bit what was going on here. You know, it's like a lot of these things. I thought I was going for them. I'm going to go out and do this so I don't hurt other people. And then you start to figure out that I'm really there for myself. And that undoing what's been done becomes paramount, or at least it should be in our lives, trying to figure some of this stuff out. And I think it was just hours before the seminar was to end on the final day. We're all sitting in this big room, and I'm sitting with my arms folded, my jacket on, and still kind of hanging on to all that stuff, even though I had made some progress in talking about things that had really bothered me, as I mentioned on the show a few times and written about more than once, that my mom was an alcoholic. It was really difficult for me growing up. My dad enabled that, didn't understand that. And I took a lot of that on. And of course, that was basically the roots of all this. Somehow I thought I had created it, which is absurd now. Talk about digging for the obvious buried in the absurd. When you have alcohol in your home growing up and you think it's your fault, which it isn't, it can be difficult. But anyway, I'd gotten to the point where, you know, we're getting towards the end of this seminar, and I'll never forget this. It was like the thing that broke the camel's back. We're sitting, the guy's talking, the guy up front, the seminar leader's going on and on about whatever. And the row in front of me and to the right, so exactly right in front of me, but one chair to the right, this guy's fallen asleep. And I'm watching this guy nod off, and I'm watching him nod off, and I'm thinking to myself, what an idiot. You know, he's missing all this good stuff. Of course, I'm projecting on myself, right, onto this guy. And eventually he nods off. And I couldn't effing believe it. I thought, who the hell is this clown to fall asleep in a training that I'm paying for? I was offended. So I did what I usually did back then. I responded, not in a good way. I kicked the guy right out of his chair. Wham! He goes flying on the floor and the whole place stops. And of course, all the assistants, the people that work there, they want to process that. So they all come running over to me, and this poor guy's laying on the floor like, what the F happened here? And I basically said, listen, if all you assholes were doing your job, I wouldn't have to. And then I went on to tell them how I would do their job better and this whole thing. And this went on and on. And finally, they moved the guy to the other part of the room, left that chair open, and they resumed the training. And then I fell asleep in my chair, not 5 minutes later. And the young woman next to me elbowed me so hard in the ribs, I ended up on the floor, gasping for breath. And I turned around and looked at her, and the whole place just stopped. And once again, the assistants come running over to process all this stuff. And that's where the ice broke finally, and the rust came off. And I realized how ridiculous it was for me to be in that position, to be kind of the moral compass for the planet at that point, and deciding what other people should or shouldn't do and all that kind of stuff. And then punishing them in a way that I thought they needed to be punished because they weren't living up to the standards that I had set for them. I didn't even know this guy. So it was just, and then of course the room started laughing and the whole jig was up. I was done then. There was nowhere to go from there except up. I remember once the training was over, the woman's name was Sue. We stayed in touch for many, many years. And every now and again, I can catch her on Facebook. But it was one of those literally make or break times in my life where it broke in a direction that was good for me, even though it came about in a very difficult way. I have spent so much time, energy, and effort not staying that guy, because it's too easy to slip in it. The way the world is, and has always been, but now it's on our watch, is enough to piss off the good humor man. There's no question. The key is, at least for me, is how do I transform those things that are difficult, make me angry, get me upset, the people, the places, the events, all this stuff, what do I do with it? Because if I don't do something with it, it does something to me. And it becomes very difficult to function when you realize that, once again, we're, you know, one country's lobbing rockets at another country for whatever reason they come up with. This is no different, in my opinion, being on that side where I thought, well, I just need to knock this guy out of his chair. I just need to put this guy in a sleeper hold. I need to push this guy over the fire hydrant because I said so. And I've deemed it to be so. And not being able to work through that differently makes me angry. So finding ways to funnel that has been the great challenge. I tend to stay away from situations that I know are just going to piss me off. So that's number one. Number two, I've learned that three breath technique where something's really, I can feel my blood going up. I just take three deep breaths and just kind of move through it. And then I remember those times where I wasn't whoever I am now. I was a different creature, a different being to some degree. And how far I've come and how much work I've put in to not be that. By the time I go through all those three things, unless my personal health and space is being invaded, I can kind of let it go. I stay away from the news as much as I can. I stay away from controversial stuff that I can't do a thing about as much as I can. And this goes back to what Gary Meyer was saying yesterday in his podcast. What are we spending time on today? If you knew tomorrow was it, if you somehow had a magic ball and it says tomorrow at 9 o'clock, you're done. However old you are listening to this, what are you going to do today? You're going to do the same shit you were doing yesterday? So while I usually come up short of what I expect out of myself on a daily basis, I'm further along than I used to be, and I'm good with that. And I guess the short theme of this, as I'm getting to the sweet spot of the podcast time, is that as I've gone back and worked on this audio stuff and relived the events of my life that are now a script, I'm so appreciative of the perspective I have over time. I think that's what it means to evolve. You can either revolve at life and keep doing the same shit over and over again, expecting your life to change and it doesn't, or you can evolve out of that, as difficult as it may be, and things start to look a little bit different. And then you have to have the discernment of what can I do about this or what I cannot do about this. You know, in 120 days, we have this big event for my high school. I'm a pretty active member of the alumni of my high school here in Chicago, and we raise a lot of money comparatively. In the last 8 years, we've raised over $45,000 to help homeless kids, which didn't exist in my school when I was there. They certainly existed, but they weren't there when I was there in the 70s. They're now called STLS kids, students in temporary living situations. High school is tough enough. I can't imagine not having a home, or at least, even though my parents had their ups and downs, at least I had that. Man, I can't imagine operating without that. And, you know, we've bought equipment and helped the library and all these myriad of things. And we've given out college scholarships. And it's because the alumni all come together and we give back to this place we felt gave us so much over the years. That's what we can do. I could sit here every day, jump on Facebook or any other social media platform, complain why the Chicago public schools aren't doing more to fill in these blanks. Or I can fill in the blanks. That's how I see it. And it's no different than any other issue. I went to the VA not long ago, got a nice clean bill of health, feel good about that. And when I came in there, I saw hundreds and hundreds of veterans from all services in various stages of health and decay. And there's a strong volunteer support system there where people come in and spend time with the veterans and do whatever they need to have done. Or those people could just go and complain how the VA system is broken. And to me, that's the difference. And if there's something bugging you and pissing you off, figure out something to do about it. It's like the thing in Ukraine. I there's a couple times I thought, maybe they'll take me. I still know how to work my way around a rifle. And instead, I just sent a check. Not a physical check, because I don't know nobody actually does that anymore. But I was able to support them with a few dollars. And at least that feels like you're involved in some of the solution and not just the problem. So to wrap this up, I was, you know, music always plays a role in my life. Obviously, this music show I do on Sundays, but music in general has always been the default for me. You know, where words fail, music always somehow fills in the blanks. I was walking out of a store yesterday with all of this on my mind, and not even sure I was going to do this for a podcast today, but it's the way it turned out. And the words of one of my buddy John Denver's songs came into mind, Poems, Prayers, and Promises. And it started was about, you know, all the things I've had and the places I've been and the people I've met, the times that I've experienced, and that, what about those things? How do we value those things as we go along the journey, full well knowing that tomorrow is promised to no one? So I'll leave you with a little bit of that song from John. Until next time, be well, safe travels. Thanks for listening. Keep the faith.
I've been lately thinking about my lifetime, all the things I've done, how it's been. And I can't help believing in my own mind. I know I'm gonna hate to see it end. Seen a lot of sunshine, slept out in the rain, spent a night or two all on my own. And I've known my lady's pleasures, had myself some friends, spent a time or two. I have to say it now, it's been a good life all in all. It's really fine to have a chance to hang around and lie there by the fire, watch the evening tire, while all my friends and my old lady sit and pass a pipe around. Talk of poems and prayers and promises, things that we believe in. How sweet it is to love someone, how right it is to care, how long it's been since yesterday. What about tomorrow? What about our dreams and all memories we share? The days they pass so quickly now, nights so seldom long. Time around me whispers when it's cold. The changes somehow frighten me, still I have to smile. It turns me on to think of growing old. For though my life's been good to me, there's still so much to do. So many things my mind has never known. I'd like to raise a family, like to sail away, dance across the mountains on the moon. I have to say it now, it's been a good life all in all. It's really fine to have a chance to hang around. Lie there by the fire, watch the evening tire, all the friends, my old lady, sit and pass a pipe around. Talk of poems and prayers and promises, things that we believe in. How sweet it is to love someone, how right it is to care, how long it's been since yesterday. What about tomorrow? What about our dreams and all?